Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
In 1997, 22-year-old Richard Lee Norris suffered one of the most horrible accidents known to man while attempting to replace a hunting rifle into the gun cabinet at his parents' home. The loaded shotgun went off. The bullet blasted upward into Richard's face, tearing off his jaw and nose. Pieces of his face splattered across the four walls of the room as he fell to the ground. Richard was rushed to the hospital, where surgeons worked frantically to save his life. He was put in a medically induced coma for 2 weeks. Miraculously, his life was saved, but Richard Norris was left severely disfigured. His jaws, teeth, lips, tongue, and nose were nearly erased. Richard's face had been blown off, and what was left was just a hideous, disfigured stump. Doctors tried their best to make his face better, but the many painful surgeries made almost no improvement on his appearance. Richard became a recluse stuck at home. His parents covered all the mirrors in the house so he wouldn't have to see himself. He was too ashamed of his appearance, too grossly deformed to work or go to school. He would only occasionally venture out at night, and when he did, he wore a mask to hide his hideous appearance. But then, in 2005, Richard was introduced to Dr. Eduardo Rodriguez. Dr. Rodriguez was the chief surgeon of the University of Maryland Trauma Center in Baltimore, USA. Based on a successful partial face transplant in France, Rodriguez believed he could help Norris find a new face, a new confidence, and a new life. But there could be no new face for Richard without a donor. So for 7 long years, Richard and Dr. Rodriguez waited for a donor whose face could be transplanted onto Richard's. Then, in 2012, 15 years after the shotgun blast that destroyed his life, the news came. A donor had been secured. A new face was ready. Richard went into surgery, and for over 30 hours, a team of 150 doctors and nurses worked on the transplant. Every bone from his eye sockets down was replaced. Every bit of facial tissue from his hairline to the base of his neck was replaced, including part of his tongue. It was the world's first full facial transplant, and it was a success. The surgery gave Richard a second chance at life. It brought him out of the darkness into the light. It took him out of despair into hope. It gave him a new identity and brought him out of isolation into community. When Richard saw his new face in the mirror after the surgery, he says, "I saw a miracle." The amazing true story of Richard Lee Norris has a powerful lesson for all of us this Christmas. You see, just like Richard Norris, we were all hideously disfigured by sin. The image of God in us was shattered, leaving us without our true identity. Living in shame and fear, we fled the light and hid in the darkness. We were in constant spiritual anguish, living in bondage and death. We needed a donor who could sacrifice his life for ours, who could give us his identity. And so on Christmas morning, Jesus came, and in a miracle greater than any other, he gave himself for us. When we put our faith in Christ, God transplants the very image and life of Jesus within us. God's perfect image is restored to us, and suddenly we're brought out of the darkness and shame into the light and favor of God. We no longer live in fear and isolation. We have a new life. That's the glorious message of joy at Christmas. When Jesus came to earth, he came to rescue, redeem, and restore every one of us. He meets every need in our lives and brings joy to the world. So let's take a moment to thank him today before we learn more about the joy of Christmas. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus on Christmas to come and be born among us, to redeem us, to restore us, to rescue us. We thank you, Jesus, for coming and placing your identity, your life in us to rescue us from the hideous destruction of our own sin. I ask you today to open our hearts and minds and give us understanding of your truth. I pray today, Lord, that you will enlighten us to see the message of joy that you've given to us this Christmas day. We submit to you right now, we bind every voice of the devil that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to touch each and every heart in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and join me right now. Put your faith together with mine. Put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hello everyone, and Merry Christmas. I love Christmas for so many reasons, but the greatest one of all is the message that Christmas brings to us. It's a message of hope, of restoration, and of new life. But most of all, the Christmas story is the message of joy. For you see, from the moment man fell into sin, God set a plan in motion to bring us back from the fall. He promised to send a Redeemer who would rescue us and restore what we had lost. And when you understand the true message of Christmas, it will flood your life with great joy. That's the lesson we learn in our scripture text. We're returning today to the Christmas story found in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. Now receive the word of God. That night, some shepherds were in the fields nearby watching their sheep. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord was shining around them, and they became very frightened. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be a great joy to all the people. Today, your Savior was born in the town of David. He is Christ the Lord. This is how you will know him. You will find a baby wrapped in pieces of cloth and lying in a feeding box." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Listen carefully to what the angel said to the shepherds and to all of us in the Christmas story. The angel clearly told us that what would bring us great joy is the good news that he'd been sent to proclaim. It was his message that would produce joy in the shepherds and in us. So if you're looking for true joy this Christmas, you'll find it in the simple words the angel proclaimed. And here's the message of joy brought to us by the angel. The angel said, "I bring you good news that will be a great joy to all the people." And here it is. Today, your Savior was born in the town of David. He is Christ the Lord. This is how you will know him. You will find a baby wrapped in pieces of cloth and lying in a feeding box. And the message of joy that the angel brings is the message of Jesus. For in the fullness of Jesus' story, we find the fullness of our joy. So let's take some time today to discover the good news of Christmas that brings great joy. And here's your first message of joy. The Savior has come. Just say that after me. The Savior has come. See, the first thing the angel tells us in Luke 2:11 is this. Today, your Savior was born. And in that simple statement of fact, we get our first glimpse of joy. For you see, that's the one thing we all needed. We all needed to be saved. The reason this message of the Savior coming is good news is because all of us are lost. We are all without hope. We all need the Savior. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6. All of us have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. All of us, every one of us, whether you're rich or poor, black or white, tall or short, male or female, we've gone astray. We've left God's path and gone our own way. And the Bible repeats this same truth over and over. In Romans 3:23, it says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. No matter who you are, no matter how good you think you behave, we've all fallen short. And the result of that sin is stated clearly in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. We're all sinners, condemned to die. We're all lost without any hope of eternal life. And that's why we all need the Savior. For sin has led us astray so that we've lost our way and become separated from God our Father. Sin has disfigured us and left us in darkness. Sin has wounded us and left us for dead. And unless God sends the Savior, we have no hope. Once, many years ago, during a very intense time of war between two nations, a military hospital had to set up a system whereby they could treat patients in order of priority. As fierce battles raged, the number of soldiers who were wounded and needed medical attention became overwhelming. The hospital couldn't possibly treat all the wounded soldiers. There simply were not enough doctors and not enough medicine to save every life. So they had to make a choice to focus only on the soldiers they thought most likely to survive. They could only give priority to those with the least serious wounds. Thus, a system was instituted to color code the victims of war. If your condition was very critical, then the hospital couldn't risk giving you attention. They had to simply let the soldier die. As every wounded soldier was brought in, a decision was made. A doctor was assigned, a color code was given, and your fate was sealed. The hospital gave each wounded soldier a color tag to indicate the priority that should be given for their treatment. A yellow tag was good. If you got a yellow tag on you, it meant your injury was not too serious. You were given an injection for the pain, and you could wait for further treatment. A blue tag was also not too bad. If you had a blue tag put on you, it meant that your injuries were serious, but if they acted immediately, they could save you. But a red tag, a red card meant the doctors didn't give you much chance for survival. They didn't want to waste time and medicine on someone who didn't have a good chance to survive. So they would just put a red tag, give you an injection of morphine, and that was it. One young soldier was brought into the hospital in very bad condition. When the doctor looked at the man, he didn't hold out any hope for him. The soldier was bleeding badly and had life-threatening injuries. So the doctor told the nurse, give that man a red tag. Well, the soldier knew what a red tag meant. He knew it was certain death. And he grabbed the nurse when the doctor left and began to beg her, I have a wife. I have a children. I beg you, tell them I love them. Tell my mom. Tell my dad. Tell my family I love them. He cried. And suddenly tears flowed from his eyes and tears flowed from the nurse. She couldn't bear to put a red tag on this young man. She thought of his wife. She thought of his kids. And so she decided on her own to change the tags. Instead of placing a red tag, she put a blue tag on him to give him some hope. And miraculously, the young man eventually recovered. He owed his life to the nurse who refused to put a red tag and give up on him. Well, months later, a general came to inspect that military hospital. As he looked over the charts, the general discovered the file about the young soldier whose tag was switched from red to blue. Why was this soldier given a blue tag instead of a red one? Who switched the tags? The general demanded answers, but no one dared to say anything. Finally, the brave nurse spoke up. She admitted, I'm the one. I switched the tags. I couldn't bear to condemn him to death. She stood trembling, fearing that her actions would cause her to be punished. But to her shock, the general ran over to her and hugged her and cried out, thank you. Thank you for what you did. For what you didn't know was that soldier you saved was my very son. He's alive because of you. And friends, that's what Jesus did for us. We were all hopeless and lost. We had a red tag placed upon us. We were condemned to be left for dead. But then the Savior came. He took our red tag, our tag of sin, our tag of shame, our tag of guilt and death, and he carried them on his shoulders, and he hung and died on a cross. And through his death and resurrection, he gave us a second chance. He placed blue tags on us, tags of life, tags of hope, tags of faith, the forgiveness of joy. He paid for those tags with his own blood while he took our red tag of death on himself. Jesus came to earth to take our place so that the punishment of our sin would fall on him, not on us. He became our provision for life, for salvation, for peace. And through him, we have an opportunity into a new life, an abundant and eternal life. That's why Jesus proclaimed in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So when the angel proclaimed, the Savior has come, it was the sound of rescue. It was the sound of relief. It was the message of joy to the shepherds, and it's the message of joy to every man and woman, boy and girl today. You see, there is no one else who could save us. There was no other way to bring us back to God. That's why 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity. That is the man, Christ Jesus. Only Jesus can save us. That's why he came to earth to be born in a manger. He came because there was no other way, no other hope. For Acts 4:12 declares, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Only the Lord of life could give life to the dead. Only the eternal God could deliver us from the emptiness and error of our ways. Only the Creator could recreate in us a new heart and life. Only the King of glory could restore the glory we lost. And other people and other religions may promise you help, but no one else can save you from sin. Others may claim to make your life better, but only Jesus can save you. Once a man was walking down the street when he fell into a deep hole. He tried his best to climb out, but the hole was too deep. He couldn't climb out on his own, so the man cried out for help to everyone that passed his way. The first person to come along was a politician. He came along and looked at the man in the hole and said, "Vote for me, and I will eradicate all holes in this nation." Suddenly, a large crowd joined the politician. They were all wearing political t-shirts and waving political flags. "No more holes," the crowd shouted. "No more holes." The crowd was chanting and marching, and the man got excited, thinking he would be delivered from the pit. But before he knew what happened, they'd moved on and were gone, leaving the man in the hole. Then along came a teacher. The teacher looked down at the man in the hole and said, "What you need is education." And the teacher taught the man three lessons he could learn from falling into the hole. Then the teacher left. But the man was still stuck in the hole. Next, a business consultant came along and said, "What you need is money." And he tossed him a proposal for how the man could make a profit in his hole. But when the businessman left, the man was still stuck in the hole. After that, a prophet came along and told the man, "If you bring me a seed offering, I will tell you which of your family members is the cause of this hole." But when the prophet left, the man was still stuck in the hole. Finally, Jesus walked by, and the man cried out, "Help! Jesus, help me! Please, Jesus, rescue me!" So Jesus walked over to the hole and jumped down into the hole with the man. The man was astonished. "Why did you do that? Now we're both down in this hole." "I jumped down," Jesus replied, "so you could climb up on my shoulders and get out of this hole." And Jesus lifted the man onto his shoulders and delivered him from the hole. That's why Jesus came, to save us from the hole we're stuck in. We couldn't save ourselves, so he came down to where we were to rescue us. Others promised to help, but then they passed their way. Only Jesus came to where we were to lift us on his shoulders and bring us out. See, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need was technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need was medical, God would have sent us a doctor. But since our greatest need was forgiveness and deliverance, God sent us a Savior. He sent His Son to lift us on His own shoulders and carry us out of the hole. Into the dark night, He came as the light of the world. Into our sin-filled world, He came as a redeemer. Into our poverty, He brought heaven's glory. Into our misery, He brings joy. Into our confusion, He comes as the Prince of Peace. And that's why the message of joy begins with the words, "The Savior has come." For when you find salvation in Jesus, you find joy. That's why Psalm 32, 1-2 declares, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt." Somebody shout, "Thank you, Jesus." And that brings us to our second message of joy. The Lord has come. Just say after me, "The Lord has come." Listen again to what the angel proclaimed in Luke 2:11. "He is Christ the Lord." So first, the first message of joy is the Savior has come. The second message of joy is the Lord has come. We can rejoice because Jesus is not only the Savior, but also He's the Lord. He's the great and mighty God, the King of the universe. He isn't just someone who loves you. He's also the only one with the power to free you from all your bondages and bring you victory. That's what God tells us in Jeremiah 42:11. Listen carefully. I am the all-wise, all-powerful, and ever-present God. I, the Lord, am with you to save you and to deliver you. Think about that for a moment. He's all-wise. He knows everything. He's all-powerful. He can do everything. And he is ever-present to come and save you. That means there's no one he cannot save. There's no problem he can't solve. There's no bondage he cannot break. There's no burden he cannot lift. And I don't know what you're facing today, but I know that every person listening and every person watching is a candidate for salvation because Jesus Christ is Lord. That's why Isaiah 40:28 declares, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. You see, we serve a mighty God. He created all things. The one who formed the eye knows how to heal it. The one who created the ear knows how to fix it. The one who gave you a life knows how to make it work. Our God knows all and sees all, and there's nothing too hard for him. There's no problem he can't solve if you'll trust in him. For Isaiah 40:12 says, who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? The Bible says the span of God's hand can measure the universe. Think about what that means. Think about how great our universe is. For example, if you want to travel by airplane to the moon, it would take you 19 days on a jet plane. If you want to travel to the sun by a jet plane, it would take you more than 21 years. If you don't want to fly to the sun, if you decided to drive instead, it would take you over 200 years driving nonstop from where you are to the sun. But that's just our sun and moon. If you want to go to the next star, it would take you 51 billion years on a jet airplane. But God's hand spans all this. That's why Isaiah continues in verses 25 and 26 and says, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Our God has all power. He holds all things together. And yet he came to earth to become Emmanuel, God with us. He's big enough that the heavens can't contain him, yet small enough to live in our hearts. So hear the word of the Lord to you today in Psalm 147, 2-5. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He counts the stars and calls them all by name. How great is our Lord! His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. God counts the stars and heals my heart. His power is absolute, and his love knows no end. His wisdom is above all things, and his compassion is on us. And because he's Lord, he uses his power to save us. That's the powerful lesson we can learn from the true story of Emmanuel Jal from South Sudan. Emmanuel Jal was just a 2-year-old boy when the war started in his homeland in Sudan. His earliest memories are of the dead bodies of people in his village lying on the ground all around him. In fact, the devastation Emmanuel witnessed as a child is difficult for any of us to comprehend. Entire villages were burnt to the ground as tens of thousands of people were brutally murdered. 4 out of every 5 women in South Sudan were raped in the war. Over 1 million Sudanese became refugees, and 1/4 of the nation's entire population was displaced. But for Emmanuel, it's not just the facts and figures that brought him so much pain and suffering. It's what he experienced personally. Emmanuel Jal woke up one morning when he was 7 years old to find out his mother had been murdered. Then at the age of 8, he was taken captive and trained as a child soldier. He was trained to kill and trained to hate. And the child who was a victim of war now became an instrument of war. As Emmanuel says, the dark force can make you become like the same people that exploited you. Life would have been a continued miserable bondage for Emmanuel Jha. But then God in his mercy intervened. When he was just 13 years old, Emmanuel was rescued by a British aid worker. He was delivered from captivity and taken out of his dark bondage. The gun in his hand was replaced with a pen, and he started school for the first time. He was taught about forgiveness and began the process of healing from his wounds. And today, Emmanuel Jha has become an instrument for healing and reconciliation, not just in South Sudan, but all over the world. He's an acclaimed hip-hop artist, and he uses his music and his faith in Christ the Lord to bring a message of peace. And there's a powerful lesson for all of us in the true story of Emmanuel Jha. You see, just like him, we've all been victims of sin right from our earliest childhood. Born into a sin-filled world, we've suffered the devastating consequences of man's inhumanity to man. And yet, sadly, we the victims have also joined in to perpetrate sin's cruel bondage. And that's the destructive power of sin. It comes to brutalize you and then turns you into a brutal person. It comes to wound you and then drives you to wound others. And when sin takes you captive, you always end up doing what you never wanted to do. But the good news for all of us is this: there is a way out of bondage. There is a way out from a life of misery and pain and suffering. Just as Emmanuel was rescued and brought out of bondage, so we too have a way of escape from sin. Jesus Christ has come to deliver us from every bondage, from every sin, from every death, from every consequence of sin. He's come to free us from the pain and the penalty and the power of sin. And if Jesus can deliver Emmanuel Jha, who as a child soldier was taught to kill, he can turn his life around, then Jesus can save you as well. There's nothing Jesus can't do. There's no life he can't change. He uses his power to help you. He uses his power to deliver you. When you understand that, it will fill you with joy. That's why Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy." You have the message of joy when you understand he's the Savior. You'll have the message of joy when you understand he's the Lord. And you'll have the message of joy when you understand that Jesus has come near so that you can know him. Just say after me, "Jesus has come near." See, that's the final message of joy in the angel's proclamation found in Luke 2:12. Listen again. "This is how you will know him. You will find a baby wrapped in pieces of cloth and lying in a feeding box." And think about what that means. The angel has proclaimed him as Savior, proclaimed as Lord, and then he comes and says, "You will know him. You will find him." The angel is telling us that you can know this Savior. You can find this Lord. For the fact is, Jesus came to be known by us. He came to be near to us. This is the good news that brings joy. It's not just that he came to save us. It's more than the fact that he's the Lord with all the power. It's the reality that this Savior, this Lord, has come to be near to me. I can know him. I can experience him. I can have his presence in me. He's come to abide and live in me. This is what the disciples discovered. They walked with Jesus, the Lord and Savior. They stayed with him and ate with him and spoke with him and knew him. Listen to what Apostle John wrote in 1 John 1:1-3. "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands." In other words, we knew him. And in his testimony, we catch the heart of God. The reason Jesus came to be your Savior is so that you could be near to God. The reason he comes as the Lord to deliver you is so that you can know God. He comes near so you can know him and so that he can live in you. That's the lesson we can learn from the powerful true story of an American man named Bill Connor. Bill Connor was home in January 2017 when he got the phone call every father dreads. His daughter Abby and his son Austin had been in a serious car accident. Abby was unconscious and things didn't look promising. Bill quickly rushed to the hospital where Abby lay in a coma. As he stood by the bed looking at his beautiful daughter, the doctors gave him the news. Abby was brain dead, and there was no possibility of recovery. Her heart was beating, her lungs were breathing, but she would never wake up from her coma. The doctors needed Bill's consent to remove the machines keeping Abby alive. But before they took Abby off life support machines, the doctors wanted Bill to know something. When Abby was 16 years old, she had signed an organ donor agreement. She'd agreed that should her life end, she wanted doctors to remove her vital organs and donate them to someone else in need to save his life. Abby wanted her death to result in the opportunity for life for others. Thousands of miles away, another family was facing their own crisis. 21-year-old Lumont Jack Jr. had just suffered a serious heart attack. Though he survived the heart attack, his heart was so weak and damaged, the doctors only gave him 10 days left to live. Jack needed a new heart. He needed a heart transplant at once, or his life would be over. He needed a miracle, and his miracle came in the form of Abby Connor. So as Bill Connor said goodbye to his daughter Abby, doctors prepared Jack for surgery. Abby was taken off life support, her heart was removed, and successfully transplanted into Jack. While one father wept, another family rejoiced. One father's loss was an entire family's gain. But the story doesn't end there. 5 months later, Bill Connor reached out to Jack and asked him, "Can I visit you?" Bill wanted to meet the man who was alive because of Abby's heart. Jack agreed to meet Bill, and so on Father's Day 2017, Bill Connor met Jack. The father who lost his daughter met the man who lived because she died. And then something amazing happened. Jack gave Bill Connor a parcel, and inside was a stethoscope. As Jack unbuttoned his shirt, he invited Bill to listen to Abby's heart beating inside his chest. Both men wept as Bill listened to his daughter's heart beating inside the chest of the man she had saved. There's a powerful truth for all of us in the story of Bill Connor and Jack Jr. Just as Bill consented for his daughter to give up her heart so that a stranger could live, so God consented to give up his son at Christmas so that salvation could come to us. Jesus left the halls of heaven so that he could live among us on earth. He left the presence of the Father so that the presence of the Father could be with us. And that's the message of joy at Christmas. You see, Christmas means God came to live among us so that he could live within us. And now this same Jesus wants to come and live in you too. That's why Jesus said in John 14:23, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." See, if you'll accept Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, then God will come near to live inside of your heart. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus wants to do. He says in Revelation 3:20, "Look, I've been standing at the door, and I'm constantly knocking. If anyone hears my calling him and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him, and he with me." And if you'll make room for Jesus this Christmas, he will come to live in your heart. If you'll open the door, he'll come near to you today. A few years ago, a local church was holding a special drama at Christmas, wherein the children of the church acted out the Christmas story. The play was always a big production in town and was attended by many people. Well, one of the young boys in the church was named Harold, and he really wanted to be in the annual Christmas play at his church that year. But the problem was that Harold wasn't very clever. He had a lot of emotional problems, and sometimes it seemed that Harold wasn't able to concentrate on anything for more than just a few minutes. And the directors of the Christmas play didn't want to hurt Harold's feelings by refusing him a part. But they were worried about whether he could handle a part on stage in front of a large crowd. After much discussion, they finally decided to give him the part of the innkeeper. It was a very small part, and all he had to do was say, "There's no room in the inn." Well, the night of the big play came, and the church was packed full. The play reached the part of the Christmas story where Mary and Joseph came and knocked on the door of the inn at Bethlehem. It was now Harold's turn to be on stage, and the directors held their breath, wondering if he would remember his one line. Harold appeared at the door of the inn, opened the door, and stood there staring at Mary and Joseph. But after a few seconds of silence, he blurted out the words, "There's no room in the inn." The couple turned sorrowfully away and began to walk off stage. The directors of the play breathed a sigh of relief. It seemed Harold had made it through his part without any problems. But then, all of a sudden, the door of the inn flew open again, and Harold came running out after Mary and Joseph. Harold couldn't bear to think of them going away with no place to stay. Forgetting that he was in a play, Harold shouted, "Wait a minute! Come back! You can have my room! You can stay with me!" Well, the whole crowd gasped in surprise. But then the whole church erupted in cheers. Harold's impromptu invitation wasn't part of the script, but it was part of God's plan. For you see, in his childlike way, Harold showed the whole church the right way. Even though the real innkeeper in Bethlehem long ago turned Mary and Joseph away, Harold didn't follow the script. He followed his heart. He opened up his heart and made room for Jesus. 2,000 years ago, the world was not interested in providing a room for Jesus. He was rejected at the inn in Bethlehem, rejected by the people he came to save, rejected at the cross. But just like Harold, you don't have to follow the script. You don't have to follow the world. You can make room for Jesus. You can give him your room, the room of your heart. You can give him room to live in you. That's the good news of Christmas that brings great joy. It's the news that the Savior has come. Your sins can be forgiven. Your shame can be removed. Your past can be overcome. The Lord has come. There's nothing he cannot do. He can deliver you from every bondage and fill your life with his love. Jesus, the Savior, the Lord, has come to be near to you, to live in you, so you can know him and find him. And Acts 2:28 promises, in your presence, there is complete joy. You can experience complete joy this Christmas when you open your heart to receive Christ as your Savior and Lord. I would like to invite you to pray with me right now to do that very thing. I invite everyone, everywhere, bow your heads and just pray this simple prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for coming near to me. I confess I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I receive you now by faith. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer in sincere faith today, I would love to hear from you. Please contact me. You can send me an email with the information on the screen or inbox me on Facebook or on any of my social media platforms and let me know, "Pastor, I've accepted Jesus Christ. He is my Savior and my Lord." You see, I want to continue to encourage you and pray for you so that you can grow in your faith and live the life that is pleasing to God. Now, before we go, let me pray for you. Father in heaven, thank you for each and everyone watching and listening today. I bless them with the joy of the good news of Christmas. I bless them with the joy of the message that the Savior has come. The Lord has come. He's come to be near to us. Father, open up our hearts today and let this Christmas be the greatest experience we've ever had with you. Let us celebrate you and make room for you in our hearts. Come in and fellowship with us this blessed season that we might know the joy that you brought to the world when you were born in Bethlehem. We thank you and we praise you, and I bless each and every one today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Merry Christmas.
God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Avon. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience. We're here all day.